What's up, sports fans? Happy weekend. Welcome to episode 3 of Sports Breakers Podcast, presented to you by the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Juan. I'm joined by the guys, Craig.
Yo, yo.
Kevin.
What's up, y'all?
It's another weekend, another day. Pretty busy, wild weekend of sports already. NCAA bracket kicked off, tournament kicked off on Wednesday, I believe, was the official day. Already some upsets I saw, but before we get into that, if you guys did not check us out on Wednesday, was our last episode, go back and check it out. Listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts at. You can check us out on the socials. All of our links are on social media, facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Instagram, all one word, / The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. X is at cinnamon405. And then the email is cinnamon921@gmail.com. But let's dig into it. There's some Major League Baseball news. I believe he's one of the highest paid players in the league right now, right, Kevin?
You're talking about Mr. Ohtani?
Yes.
Yeah. If he was an American born or didn't need a translator, he would be the face of the league, in my opinion. That is,
that's right. That's where some of that news is coming from, because his translator could cost him his MLB career now.
Uh-oh. What's going on with that situation?
His translator supposedly stole money, $4.5 million. And was gambling, sports gambling.
Oof.
They said NFL, college football, NBA, and MLB.
Yep.
And they're investigating him now. And if they find out that he's possibly, he could get the Pete Rose treatment.
Man.
There might be a little bit of leniency with it being his translator, but at the same time, his translator is tied to him. So, no telling.
Yeah, and the translator was hired by the Dodgers pretty much too. So
what if he has nothing to do with it, but the translator is found guilty as possible? Would that, you said that would still come back and bite him in the ass?
It could, because it's, in my opinion, it's hard to believe you don't know what your translator is doing.
Yeah.
And then come to say, find out, let's say he knew all about it. Then you said Pete Rose treatment, as far as like,
Pete Rose was gambling on MLB games and is pretty much banned for life. No Hall of Fame. Were the record books scrapped of him?
No, the record books ain't scrapped of him, but there's like that asterisk that they like to put on situations.
Yeah. So he didn't get the full Chris Benoit treatment?
No.
A little bit different.
Hey, you know, Pete Rose still got to go in another Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah, the WWE Hall of Fame.
That's pretty funny. You know what? Maybe if this doesn't work out for
Shohei Ohtani,
Tatsunaki, maybe he can do some wrestling or something, some other kind of stuff. Who knows? Would have wished nothing for the best, though. Could you imagine if he knew nothing about it and he still gets the backlash and gets, you know, doesn't get any of it?
I'll put it this way, though. Was Tom Brady banned from the NFL for Deflategate?
No.
They were kind of looking the other way. Ohtani's kind of on that same. He's not Tom Brady, but he brings a lot of attention to the league universally, especially from Japan and overseas. So
he hasn't even played an American game yet, right?
Ohtani? No.
He has?
He's a two-time MVP.
Okay. Yeah.
He's one of the top pitchers, and he's a top hitter. He's solid on offense and defense, if you want to call it that. So
he's a modern-day Babe Ruth.
If Babe Ruth actually played against anybody.
Well, yeah.
He played against my uncle, who was a plumber.
That's insane. So is he going to be suspended?
They're just investigating right now.
Yeah, it's just investigating.
It's all preliminary, but I know there's a federal investigation too because of the money, because they're claiming it was stolen out of his account.
Ooh.
Man. So, I mean, it's a big mess for Otani right now.
So say that, you know, spring training and spring games have been, you know, are spring games officially started yet?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So say the season kicks off in a few weeks and they're still investigating. Is he allowed to play?
Till the investigation is complete, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. At least he's innocent until proven guilty.
But it kind of puts a black eye right now on him till that investigation is over.
Yep.
Man. I mean, I hope he's found innocent because he's that generational talent you'll only see once in a lifetime.
And like you said, we talked about this a few weeks ago. There's hardly any eyes on baseball enough as it is. Now, if you take one of the main stars out, you know.
Yeah.
Plus, the negative publicity ain't helping. That's the other thing.
Let's go talk the world of the NFL right now. Some huge trades happened a few weeks ago and this week. Snead traded. What do you guys think of the Snead trade?
I knew it was going to happen. They wanted to trade him, but what they got for it was ridiculous. And him going to the Titans made no sense to me.
Who is this?
Ladarius Snead from the Kansas City Chiefs. They're strong safety.
I did not see that.
He was traded yesterday to Tennessee Titans for a fourth and sixth round pick.
It just seems like you think some of these names are going to be worth a lot more and they get a sixth round, a la Justin Fields. And then Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta and gets $280 million.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me.
No, it don't. I mean, you're paying somebody that kind of money that just coming off of ACL and his age and his playoff record.
Yeah, let's be honest. Kirk Cousins hasn't necessarily proven anything in the league when it comes to postseason success. I mean, same with a lot of quarterbacks. It is hard to have a lot of postseason success, but at the same time, why do we continue, do they continue to pay all these people all this kinds of money who honestly haven't done anything? Like, I know you have a cap and I know you have to meet it, but who in their right mind sits there and says, I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins because I know he can at least get me to the first round?
Then you're gonna pay him $200 some odd million with almost 200 guaranteed. Yeah. And
why don't we look at what San Francisco's doing with Brock Purdy? You have somebody who, let's be honest, Brock Purdy's good. He's not great. He's what Cam Newton calls a game manager. But get the talent around you. Get a good O-line. Get a good running back, which they have Bijan. You have Kyle Fields at tight end, which needs to be utilized more, which you get the coach out of there who doesn't know how to utilize them, and you solve that issue. But San Francisco is built with the talent around Purdy, you know, and they were right there for a Super Bowl. Granted, everybody's trying to go the Kansas City route and just have the greatest quarterback on the field, which – you got Tom Brady, you got Patrick Mahomes. It's kind of it in the last 20-something years.
So what do you think? People should take the old-school New England Patriots route, like draft somebody that you don't know at quarterback, build around them,
not have necessarily a good defense. Somebody quarterback.
Tom Brady was kind of just thrown in there. He was developed from a game manager, and he didn't really develop to be the greatest passer until maybe five, almost 10 years down the line. And San Francisco's taking the same route with Brock Purdy.
Yes, they are.
At the end of the day, how many people are going to end up being like Patrick Mahomes? Josh Allen's Josh Allen's close, but at the
I don't think Josh Allen is as close as people. If you say Josh Allen's close, then Dak Prescott's close.
No, like when I say close, there's still a pretty
there's that gap. Big gap. Yeah,
like I'm not saying it's like. You know, Philip Rivers and Drew Brees back in the day. Like, yes, they're both great passers. You know, they're close.
Drew Brees was more. Yeah, Drew Brees was more of a game manager type of deal because of his coach. Could win. Phillip Rivers had the arm strength like a Josh Allen. That no fear.
Yeah, but Phillip Rivers a lot. He you know, after his later part of his career, he didn't have the talent around him that maybe Drew Brees had.
Right.
No.
But I mean, it's not basketball. You can't go out and just get LeBron James like teams did from in his prime, and you're immediately contender. You have to have more than just the quarterback around you.
Speaking of NFL and quarterback, this just kind of Bleacher Reports going off of the NFL rumor is the Eagles are scouting Kenny Pickett, and they see desirable traits in Kenny Pickett, and there's signs that they might go after Kenny Pickett. And if they do that, do you guys think that Jalen Hurts' time in Philadelphia could be cut short?
He's already there.
Where?
In Philly.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, like, do you think, you know, is that trouble looming for Jalen Hurts?
This could be the year that could make or break Jalen Hurts with the Eagles.
Yeah. I think if he has turnover problems, 2 years ago when the Eagles made that big run, he was very good with holding on and making good decisions with the ball. But you go back to when he was at Oklahoma, several games he had troubles carrying the ball. The Baylor game comes to mind. We go down 28-3. Granted, they make a comeback because OU was the better team. They had better talent, better offensive coaching, blah, blah, blah. But he put us in that hole. He fumbled the ball at the 1 yard line. He fumbled the ball at midfield. I think he turned the ball over inside.
Like three times, but he had an interception.
So it's like he's had issues holding onto the ball. And in the NFL, you turn the ball over, you lose the turnover battle, you're going to lose. Eagles were kind of able to overcome that sometimes last year. But at the end of the day,
they started off 10-1.
Well, what it didn't help, their defense kind of went downhill too.
Yeah.
And if you turn the ball over and your defense ain't what it used to be, you're not going to win a game.
But, I mean, if the Eagles are looking at it from the standpoint as we have Kenny Pickett for pennies on the dollar, we could probably get a 1-3, possibly a 1-3-4 for Jalen Hurts. You build around. You like what Kenny Pickett does in training camp. Granted, training camp is always
it's for the younger guys. Yeah,
it's training camp. You know, yeah. People have the baller in them. People have the, you know, that X factor in them. I think Jalen Hurts has it. I just think he needs to be a little more conservative in his decision making and holding on to the ball.
He needs to go back to his Alabama days when he was with Saban. He didn't turn the ball over much. He was more of a mental quarterback. I mean, honestly.
I'd be scared turning the ball over at Alabama.
So it sounds like he needs to just be that game manager. Now, especially with Philadelphia adding all the weapons around him.
Yeah, I mean, you have Saquon Barkley. You don't need to take off and fight for extra yardage.
No, because you can use him out of the backfield in so many different ways.
I think his biggest thing is he's competitor. He wants as much yardage as he can get. He needs to just take what he can get down, keep fighting.
He's got that Josh Allen syndrome. He's putting everything on his own shoulders when he don't have to.
Yeah. Just get what you can, go to the next play, keep the ball safe, move it down the field. I also don't think Nick Sirianni is that guy as a coach. I think he's good, but
I hate his face.
I think they just had a good run 2 years ago. I think last year you kind of saw what they actually are. Granted, like you said, the defense went down a little bit, but they did add Saquon. I think adding Saquon, if Saquon can get back to what he was, even 2 years ago, he was really good. You know, after he kind of had that slow start, he came on and was really good towards the end of the year when they made the playoff push. But you just, like I said, you just got to ride Saquon, let Jalen be that game manager. You don't need to force him to do anything else more than that.
Also, Jadeveon Clowney has visited the Jets. the Ravens and the Panthers. Last year, he had a season high or career high 9.5 sacks last year in Baltimore. You think Jadeveon Clowney signs with? Who do you think he'll be with day one when the season starts? Anybody want to take a guess?
I see the Jets.
I think it depends on the money. If the Ravens are close to what the Jets can offer, I think he stays with Baltimore because I feel like he was a really good fit in Baltimore. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of these people know that winning a championship is kind of few and far between, so they take the money when they can. So it's just kind of where his preference is.
And then he's been also the past few years on a one-year deal with everybody he's been with. And he knows his career's coming to an end, so he wants to shoot for a title. And I think he'll probably go to whatever team has the best chances he feels. And it does come down to the money.
I mean, the Jets, let's be honest, man. The Jets have a really solid defense. They it may not look like it, but that's because the offense put them in terrible situations all the last 2 years. But the defense statistically is really good. I mean, they have good corners. I think the defensive coach there is really good. You add Jadeveon Clowney, you know.
Yeah, and the Jets' offense is, if they can keep Aaron Rodgers healthy, if he can stay healthy, adding Mike Williams just the other day from the Chargers. If he can stay healthy, you got Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, which is a future top back in the NFL.
They added Mike Williams too.
Yeah,
they just added him the other day.
Man, Cincinnati Bengals are willing and listening to trade offers with T. Higgins amongst the draft.
Yeah, T. Higgins is one of those guys where he's going to get you 8 catches for 150 one game and 2 catches for 30 the next.
The Bengals kind of, man, they released Joe Nixon, and now this, it's kind of like, what are you guys,
that window's, you know, closing a little bit.
Yeah. What are you guys doing for Joe Burrow here? You know, he just got done signing a huge contract, but now you're
that's that thing. Like, these quarterbacks are signing for these absurd amounts of money, and you saw Patrick Mahomes do the same thing, but he's restructured it to where, you know, he gets it in the latter part of his deals now. But
and then he's allowing the team, Patrick Mahomes still allows the team to go get some of these players to add Hollywood offensive Brown. Linemen. Yep.
Offensive linemen. Yeah. I mean, it's, I understand these quarterbacks want to put everything on their shoulders and they're in the spotlight and they make the most money. But at the end of the day, outside of Patrick Mahomes, the only quarterback to have multiple rings and not take absurd amounts of money, Tom Brady.
Yep.
Like, every quarterback who takes absurd amounts of money, you might have one good year, but you're not there year after year after year after year.
Kind of makes you wonder what they're going to do, what the situation is going to be like in Dallas, because I know Dak is always – he always makes sure that he has that no-trade clause. And at the end of the day, I'm like, bro, what are you afraid of with that no-trade clause? Like, you know, I know he's about to sign that huge, huge deal. But I don't think it's worth not making it to the playoffs or not building a solid team around you.
They need to move on.
Yeah. They're not getting rid of Trey Lance, though, so that's interesting.
They're comfortable with
– It reminds me of the Tony Romo situation. Dak Prescott reminds me of him when it comes to the team. The owner will have his back after a while, and then after a while they have to start all over. I think they just need to overhaul everything.
Yeah, Dallas is built for mediocrity right now. That's all it is.
Yep.
Rounds 1 and 2 are almost in the books. The NCAA Men's March Madness bracket. What do you guys think of the opening week so far?
Been some upsets that nobody saw coming. Yale over Auburn and
Oakland over Kentucky. Yep.
Those are, you know, those are ones that, you know, you always kind of, James Madison over Wisconsin too. Although I don't think Wisconsin is really that good. Big Ten's kind of down this year. They have Purdue, but, you know, it's a whole different thing. But there's always games where you look and you're like, which high seed is going to knock off, you know, or low seed is going to knock off a high seed. You kind of look for those, but some of these you just don't ever expect. You know, Samford almost knocked off Kansas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Kansas plays Gonzaga today, and Gonzaga might take them.
I think Gonzaga beats them pretty good. I think they do.
And then a lot of 11 seeds been winning. They usually do every year, knocking out these 6 seeds.
My sleeper pick in Oregon won pretty handily over South Carolina, another hot team coming into the tournament.
Yeah, they won by 14.
I think they take on Akron for or Creighton for a little bit. Creighton has a really good center in the middle. They're very fundamental. Don't take wild shots. They have run through a good offense. So we'll see if Oregon can disrupt them, and we'll see if Creighton can keep knocking down shots. That's what their biggest thing is high field goal percentage and good shot selection.
Michigan State plays North Carolina.
Yeah,
Tom Izzo.
Big names.
Izzo's never beaten North Carolina in the tournament. I think that's probably the headline of that. Yeah, North Carolina's pretty dominant this year.
I think they stay. That point guard they have, and they got some size across the board, but that point guard's pretty good for them.
Yeah, RJ Davis, he'll be in the NBA soon.
Yeah, but other than that, nothing else really stands out. Texas A&M stays hot. I kind of pointed that out that I felt like they would coming out of the SEC tournament. Houston rolled versus Longwood as the top seed. UConn rolled as the second seed, second number one seed.
Purdue rolled as well.
Purdue looked good. Honestly, all the top seeds look really good against the 16 seeds. The 2 seeds versus the 15 seeds, they all kind of rolled as well, I believe. Yeah. But then you start getting into those 3 seeds, and that's where you start to see it getting a little more competitive.
Some of the seeds in the tournament, these lower-ranked teams, you know, like the 11s, the 12s, 13s, they're actually better than what they're seeded.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's where the NCAA tournament kind of got it wrong a little bit this year, always favoring the Power 5 schools, you know, the big conferences.
Somebody had pointed out, you know, it is our new conference, Johnny. But somebody had pointed out that Greg Sankey said that non-Power 5 schools should not be selected in the manner that they were. And the SEC is sitting at 1-5 in tournament games, losing to teams like Oakland.
Yep. Now, don't bring up the John Calipari argument where he's like, well, our team's young. We got 18, 19-year-olds. We're playing 24, 25-year-olds. Well, they're still in college.
As somebody else pointed out, you're in the NIL era.
Yep.
You're Kentucky. You can go out and get any other person outside of teams from North Carolina, Kansas. You can go out and get – if they wanted to steal somebody from Iowa State's a 2-seed, they got some decent players. If they wanted to take somebody, I'm sure they could.
Well, it's like KU stole the center, Dickinson. From Michigan.
Right. Yeah.
Through the portal.
Yep.
Calipari just likes to use those one guys for a year and then send them off to the NBA.
He's a really good recruiter, really good developer. Yep. I don't think he's that good of a coach.
I agree with that. And, that was a discussion on other shows.
Having one title or two titles maybe in his tenure.
One title for each championship.
Anthony Davis.
Yep.
I mean, they're good. They get to the tournament. They usually produce some pretty good results. Elite Eight, Final Four, Sweet 16s. But having one title with John Calipari and the amount of Devin Booker, Cat, Anthony Davis, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the list goes on and on in the NBA. Not being able to win titles at Kentucky with that talent is borderline ridiculous.
So what do you guys – so you had mentioned the SEC earlier. Tonight when Texas plays Tennessee, is that SEC-SEC yet, or is it still Big 12
SEC? Big 12 SEC. Yeah. 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 The next time you see a football game, it's SEC. So we can consider ourselves SEC. Basketball is still in Big 12.
They have to wait till later on in the
fall. Once the season concludes, you will be SEC. Yep.
I think there's only one game going right now, right? And that's
Arizona and Dayton.
Arizona
handling pretty good.
Up 12. Arizona's got some size, man. And that's what you notice with these top seeds. They got size. You know, not just in the center position and the four position, but these wings and guards are 6'2 to 6'6, you know, and they
sometimes 6'8. Yeah.
They're able to rebound, you know, 1 through 5. They're able to swap 2 through 5. So
their tight ends playing basketball.
Yeah.
Any second round upsets you see, or what do you guys think of the second round with today and tomorrow?
If there are any quote unquote upsets, I'm taking Oregon over Creighton. My sleeper pick.
I'd have to go with Oregon and Creighton. Yeah.
Other than that, I think UConn rolls. I think Houston rolls. I think everything else just kind of stays. NC State versus Oakland in the second round, two teams that a majority of people did not expect to be. I'm going to say it. Nobody expected that to be the matchup today for that slot. So
which one?
I think the NC State Oakland at 6:10 on TBS. I want to tune into that one just because it's two teams that nobody expected to be facing off against each other.
And Oakland could be that team if they make that run after knocking out Kentucky.
If Kolke stays hot like he did, that man was on fire.
All he does is shoot threes.
So, yeah, that'll be fun to watch. Oregon, Creighton, and then, of course, you got to tune in to North Carolina, Michigan just for the names alone.
And Gonzaga, Kansas, I think.
Yeah, I think if you were to rank games, I think Gonzaga, Kansas is going to be the most competitive. North Carolina, Michigan State will be second most competitive. Baylor, Clemson will be a fun watch. And then Tennessee, Texas. Those will be my four to watch today.
The Tennessee, Texas game, I'm interested in that because
Rick Barnes.
Playing the former head coach. So.
Yep. That'll be a fun one to watch.
There's going to be emotion in that game.
Yeah. Which sucks because that is at 7 o'clock on CBS, which is, you have NC State Oakland 40 minutes before, and you have Houston A&M 40 minutes after.
Yep.
So it's all right around that same time, which is it's cool if you have multiple screens, but if you have one screen, you're going to be trying to decide which one you want to watch because I think they're all going to be fairly competitive.
Buffalo Wild Wings will probably be a place to go, huh?
Bourbon barbecue wings. Have you seen the commercial where the Buffalo is boxing out people?
Yeah.
That's a good one. It's a good one.
We haven't talked about this yet, but I know it's still getting some – there's still some time before it happens. But I did see that Mike Tyson was in the news earlier. What do you guys think of that fight? Mike Tyson, Jake Paul? Mike Tyson looks like he's taking it pretty serious. I saw his training videos. He looked like he's about to go to war.
Yeah.
Jake Paul's probably just, you know, getting ready to – do some interviews and a podcast, but Mike Tyson looks like he's taking it very seriously.
He's going to retire him and put him with his brothers, what he said.
If Paul can last to the fourth round, I think he'll be all right. I don't know Mike Tyson's conditioning, but I would assume that fourth round is when a 57-year-old boxer might start getting a little gassed. And then he'll win in split decision or something like that.
You got to watch the Roy Jones Jr. Mike Tyson fight if Jake Paul can do something like that, even though it was just like an exhibition, he might survive.
Yeah.
Because if Tyson gets inside and hits him a couple good times, he might knock him retarded.
Within the first couple rounds.
Yeah. Because Tyson said he's a nice guy outside the ring now, but once he gets in that ring, he's a different animal.
Well, did you guys see that interview where he's like crying that he can't fight anymore? He's like, I'm a monster. And he's like crying because he can't fight anymore. I'm like, dude, I would never get in the ring with it. He's crying because he can't inflict punishment on people. Like, it's...
It'd be interesting. And they're doing it in the Cowboy Stadium, so...
Yeah, and it's on Netflix, so...
Oh, it's going to be on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix.
Interesting. How long do you think you guys think it'll be till... You know, Netflix starts, I mean, they're doing this one, but you think they'll ever dab their feet in some serious boxing?
Well, it feels like they're trying to go the Hulu route. They're trying to add some live events. They're trying to keep things fresh and not on demand, forcing people to maintain their subscriptions.
I think it'd be pretty cool for them to maybe take some stuff away from... Maybe ESPN and their ESPN Plus stuff. Cause
no.
ESPN, well, hold on, though. ESPN, aren't they still doing the, you have to subscribe to ESPN Plus, and then when it's a big pay-per-view, you still have to pay for the pay-per-view?
Yes. UFC, yes. They let you get the prelims, things like that, but then when it comes to the main card, you have to still buy the pay-per-view.
Yeah, so but your ESPN's not locking it down. Who can view the content? If you have the login, you can log in. They're not limiting the households, which we've started to see now. And so we start getting to that point where it's like, you're charging me more money to log in at work when it's not my home address. And you recognize that it's not my home address. And you only offer a couple changes a year, which I believe is what they're moving to.
Yeah.
It's going to become a problem. I'm paying for the service. I want to watch it wherever I please.
Yeah. I think what the top tier service right now is $19.99,
which is ridiculous.
And you can't; it's not unlimited screens, right? With that $19.99,
I think it's like two or three screens. But then again, they start to notice if you're not at that location.
Mm. That's insane.
Sluts. SmackDown resluts.
Resluts. That's the Attitude Era version.
Dayton made a little push at the end, 40-33 at halftime.
That's the only game on right now, though, right?
Only game on. Okay. Yeah. But then 2:15. So probably as soon as this game gets over, you're going to start getting games really pushing out 2-3 at a time.
Yeah, within like 30 minutes of each other, one to start. They'll get close to half, the other one to start.
Yeah. So this one will finish. Then you'll get Gonzaga, Kansas. That one will be finishing. Michigan State, UNC will start off. And then probably 10 minutes into the first half, you'll get Washington, Iowa State starting. And then same result down the line for the rest of the night.
Did you say the Texas game is on CBS?
Yep. I think they'll have Brad Nessler calling that one.
Oh, wow.
Brad Nessler.
He still does double duty, does he?
Speaking of, before we get into WWE, while you're finishing that typo, they said, it's a sports podcast. We got to bring it up. NCAA 2025, I believe is what they're calling it, or 25. Multiple broadcasting people, so it's going to feel like you're watching Fox, ESPN, CBS, I believe, per Big 12, SEC, Big 10, ACC. So it'll be interesting. I hope it's very unique. I hope they really bring back the college feel to the games, which I think that they are. I mean, you look at some of the stuff that they were showing with the mascots and, you know, the stuff they were requesting from universities. I think it'll be really fitted towards the college audience and not just a reskin for Madden. So,
yeah, and then they got NIL deals in that game and then the transfer portal is available too. That I was reading.
You look at it, and we are probably 38 days from actual gameplay footage coming out. I think they said early May we'll start to see actual gameplay footage and a release date. So
I noticed that there are some college players who are opted out not to be into the game. Do you
name
think
them?
There's some of them.
Yeah.
Besides just Arch Manning not being in it, you think if enough people that don't want to be in it, do you think it'll still have a good feeling for it? Like, you know, oh, quarterback number six is not taking my NIL deal. But like,
you know what they're going to do? They're going to have Quinn Ewers. What's his number? Quinn Ewers.
I think he's, what is he?
13?
10?
10? 11? Whatever. Quinn Ewers number 11 at starter, and they're going to have obviously opposite race of the backup number three, or no, yours is number three, I believe.
Yeah.
Number 16, he might be 16. Number seven, David Archibald. You know what I mean? Like, they're just going to have something
random name.
Yeah. And that
but
way,
they'll still have that. They'll still have his stats kind of similar,
I think the stats
like what they were going to. Yeah.
Correct.
So either way, he's going to be in it. It's just not going to be him.
But I think they said that you cannot edit the likeness of the players.
Well, that's stupid.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they're doing that so that people can't go in and make it Arch Manning because he opted out of the game. But when you play online, it won't matter. It won't be Arch Manning. It'll be David Archibald, number seven.
Right.
But like you said, same stats.
So they're probably taking away all that creative to where, like, you can't, like you said, you can't go in and.
I don't know. Offline, possibly. You know, Madden lets you do it, and they, you know, they pay them. But online play, you like just like Madden, you're not going to be able to change who the backup quarterback is. It's going to be whoever. Trey Lance for Dallas.
You think we'll ever get another chance at just, like, the rights for the NFL games away from EA, or do you think it's just like a locked and loaded thing now?
No, I mean, there's been talks. 2K took the backyard football or something like that, I believe. Jason Kelsey bought the rights to that one other style game. If the NFL was smart, they would allow open competition for someone to make an NFL game.
When they did the NFL, like, 2K games back in the day and Madden was still out, those 2K games were pretty good.
Well, but they were, but I feel like 2K's become comfortable on their own skin as well.
Yeah, they focus on basketball.
Mainly. Early on, 2K was trying to pave their way to become what EA was, and so they pushed the limits. Them with the 2K lineage were really good when PS4 came out. The graphics were a substantial jump. But ever since then, it's been little tweaks here and there with a lot more microtransactions. They push VC. They change the way you can earn VC in the game to where you have to buy it more. It's
became a money deal.
It's a money deal, and I feel like EA is the same way with Madden Ultimate Team. 2K, what EA is for Madden Ultimate Team, 2K is for basketball. And they need to find a third party who is willing to jump in and try it, who is proven and can create a good product. They need to have open licensing for people to try it. So that's where I'm at with it. As long as EA and 2K hold the rights to their respective titles, it's just going to be a money grab with limited to no upgrades every year.
Madden will dominate just because of the history, the name.
For the most part, yeah. Which I'm curious how long they have that name since he is no longer with us.
No, I'm sure his family signed off because I'm sure they're just reaping in the benefits.
Possibly.
So, and honestly, as long as they start becoming the number one video game that season, I don't think there's going to be no change, obviously.
Yeah.
You would have to have a lot of people just to stop buying it.
Which I think, obviously, Madden sales are going to be down tremendously this year because everybody football comes out. I mean, there's going to be people that buy both, yes, but like myself, I'm not buying Madden this year at all. No, sir.
I'm excited about the college football.
What if college football comes out, Craig, and it says, oh, you can link the two and do two different things with the same? You're not going to go?
I haven't had college football in 11 years.
Yep.
I'm not touching Madden one time this year.
And they used to actually be able to – you used to be able to make a player and draft them to Madden.
Yeah.
They did do that towards the end.
But I'm not going to touch Madden.
Like, yeah.
I've had it. I've played it. It's the only thing I could play. It's nothing but college football this year.
Anybody watch SmackDown last night?
Bits and pieces. I've read a lot of it.
I'll rapid fire through the results. If we want to talk about it, we can. Escobar defeated Rey Mysterio with the help of Dominic Mysterio. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory defeated Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. You also have Naomi versus Io Sky happened. Sky defeated Naomi, as she should. The Street Profits versus the Authors of Pain. Street Profits, surprisingly to me at least, defeated the Authors of Pain. One step closer to getting to the WrestleMania match. And then you had the ending segment with Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, which was supposed to be a one-on-one face-off, ended up being, Seth Rollins and Jay was with Cody, and the Bloodline was with Roman. Looks like they're pushing again for Mysterio versus Rey, or Mysterio versus Dominic, father versus son again at WrestleMania. I think that's really the only, besides the perfect ending to SmackDown, everybody said that the promo was really good between Rhodes and Reigns. I didn't get to check it out yet. I'm still waiting for it to drop on Hulu. But what do you guys think? Final word, really? I was just talking about Jay with this on Wednesday's episode. I was kind of upset because I was like, man, I don't know where they're going with Dominic. He's a super hot heel. Everybody loves to hate him. But he doesn't have a WrestleMania match announced yet. But we're 2 weeks away, and it looks like they're pushing Father-Son Part 2.
I think they'll get that done. I think it should be I think that would be the one that could almost be like a retirement match for Ray.
Yeah. Ray won last year's match. I think this would probably be the one where Dominic gets his
revenge. Win back.
The handing of the torch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I see a match that's a possibility at WrestleMania. Bianca Belair. Naomi and Jade Cargill against Damage Control. I've seen that that might be a possibility. I don't know, Jade Cargill, she's actually going to be on TV next week. You know, finally, after that big signing.
Yeah, I don't know what the whole deal was with her, just kind of just staying away. I don't know if she was like injured or if they're just waiting for the perfect time. But, you know, she made some appearances last year, and then she was in the Royal Rumble match, and then she was completely gone for, like, several weeks, and now, you know.
Now, all of a sudden, they're pushing her back. It's just, I don't know what they're doing with her. They made a big deal about her, then threw her on the back burner, and now they're trying to bring her back again.
Looks like it was a pretty solid show, though. I haven't checked it out yet. I'll probably check it out, and we'll talk a little bit more about it next week, because there's a big Monday Night Raw coming up Monday in Chicago. CM Punk will be there, so should be pretty interesting. So I had like I
said, on SmackDown, they did do another home invasion like they've been doing. LA Knight showing up at AJ's house.
I'm not a fan of those not even back in the Attitude Era when they did the whole thing with Brian Pillman and Steve Austin. I'm just not a fan of the home invasion things. What about you guys or Kevin?
No, I don't like it because you're crossing that line of almost making it too personal. you know, just it makes no sense to me.
No.
Involving families and things like that, you know, it's just some of those people shouldn't be on TV.
Yeah. Also, it starts to become a little bit too choppy. Like, we can tell who's a professional and who's not.
Yeah.
We can talk a little AEW stuff. I don't keep up with it. I'm not a huge fan of it. I'll keep an ear out for certain people. I know this past week you had Edge, Adam Copeland, win the TNT Championship. Sasha Banks, Mercedes Monet made her debut. And it feels real rehashed, like WCW style. That's why I kind of don't keep up with it. But if you want to talk a little bit about some AEW, Kevin, they have a show on tonight, right?
Yes, they do. At 7 o'clock. I want to say it's Dynamite?
No, Dynamite is Wednesday. Tonight is Collision, I think.
Collision, yes.
Yeah.
I get those two confused.
Okada
did win his match and took the title from Eddie Kingston.
Yep. Me and Jay were just talking about that on Wednesday, thinking, how do you book that, his very first match on TV? You kind of booked yourself in a corner. Do you hurry up and take the belt off of him? And literally, as soon as we got done with that episode, I saw that Okada won that championship. And then Tony Khan, now they have like certain rules for that championship, and I'm like, now you're trying to just make it seem, I don't know.
It's, yeah, weird. It's... And to me, the match was really, really choppy, not very good. Yeah. It's just... Okada is a big talent. Eddie Kingston's okay, but he's just not that performer like he used to be.
Then you just wasted one man's entire debut on national TV, and it was just kind of like it was there.
Yeah.
Giving away stuff for free. So...
And Sasha, Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moneau, whatever she wants to go by these days. How they're doing her situation, they're putting too many eggs in the basket with her, type of thing.
I think they need to hurry up and get off like national TV and try to go to some streaming network before it gets really, really bad.
Before those numbers get really down, and then they're going to have to close the doors, like WCW did.
Yeah, because I think at some point last year they had like 800 and something thousand views, and you know, when they're trying to maintain, they can't even maintain 1 million views a week on national TV. But that's the day and age that we're in right now. So we can if you guys have anything else you want to mention as far as sports this week. I know everybody's eager to just get back into the NCAA tournament. Round two will finish off tomorrow, I believe, right? And then the Sweet 16 kicks off on
March 28th, so this Thursday, Friday.
Yep, Thursday. Friday's the 29th.
Yeah.
It'll be Thursday.
Thursday, Friday, Sweet 16. Saturday, Sunday's Elite Eight.
Elite Eight.
And then April 6th is the Final Four. And then that Tuesday, I believe.
That Monday is the
championship. Yeah. So 2 weeks from now is Final Four, and then the Monday following is the championship.
So yeah, we'll go finish off some second round games Wednesday when we come back. Man, we'll get to talk some pretty good stuff on Wednesday. Wednesday should be pretty packed. It'll be the day before Sweet 16.
Yep.
So, unless anybody else has anything to put into, let's go enjoy some
college basketball.
College basketball. So, Kevin, you have anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
No. I'm ready to watch some weekend games, enjoy the day off. And
yep.
All right. If you guys have any questions or comments, there's the social media pages. You guys can hit those links. Don't forget, join us tomorrow, Sunday night, Patch Adams on the movie side of things. Other than that, we will talk to you guys on Wednesday and talk some more college basketball. Have a good weekend.
Yep.
Hook 'em. Later.